It changes on the fly. Like, I can see you doing it, like, in real time. That's great. Why didn't we do this before? I'm just kidding.
Because I didn't trust you, Jeff. It's taken you 7 years, and I'm finally ready to promote you. Don't make me regret it.
Adult beverages are poured. The kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming. It's a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives.
My name is Trevor, and I have a 8-year-old and a 6-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old.
You dirty snake in the grass. I leave for a week and just new dads showing up. The old Trevor is just easy to replace, and then you guys do a great show and just real nice, man. Real nice to see where your loyalty lies.
What can I say? I think I threw you under the bus too, saying you had questions for our guests. You know, you're not here, so you know you're gonna get all the flack.
That is quite all right. Hey, big shout out, of course, obviously just fooling. So happy and so honored to have had our good friend Bill from A Game That Looks at 40. Do definitely check out that podcast. It is a impressive amount of editing and care that goes into that show. Jeff and I are always super honored to be on the show when we get to make an appearance. So do check them out. Thanks so much, Bill, for coming in. And it's kind of a new tool in our tool chest as far as podcasters go. We are going to be looking for some guest hosts from time to time should Jeff and I have fatherly duties, summers, or perhaps too many summer drinks that particular day.
Just, yeah.
It's like, listen, the corona's hit right, Jeff. I can't record tonight. I'm sorry.
It still might be the best show ever if we decide to go.
That is true. But we will get into it. You guys touched on this topic a bit, not too much, and I'm glad that's the case because I'm excited to talk about this. This is the official release of emulators on iOS. So Android, a mecca of emulation for the longest of time, it's a bit more of a free open type of system, but iOS officially allowed an application on their iPhone that you can now download and play games from. So we're talking, at least what I was able to get working, I saw NES, SNES, Genesis, of course, some of those lower ones. I did get a DS game working.
Okay.
Could not get a 3DS working. That might be just the operator. And I believe you were doing some N64, right?
Oh, yes. I was in my Star Wars Shadow of the Empire Battle of Hoth.
The first thing you get.
I did. Absolutely.
Wow. So we have a conversation saying that's the greatest opening level of all time. And just
had to
true
try
to
it
form.
Out. Exactly. I mean, if it's going to work, it has to work on this level.
So I found this entire thing... It is fascinating. I think it's kind of a watershed moment. And I'm kind of curious what happens with emulation. Like, is this sort of a, you know, wink and a nod and things kind of continue as normal? Is this the moment where, you know, Nintendo really starts to throw the ban hammer down, really starts going after people because it's become so prevalent on the last kind of holdout for mobile systems? Like, it launching and having kind of the acclaim that it did, like what was your reaction to it? What was your first thought when you saw emulators launching on iPhone?
I couldn't believe that it wasn't shut down immediately, to be honest with you. It was just one of those things, like, it can't be true. This has got to be some sort of malware or, you know, fake emulator, or maybe it doesn't even work that well. But then you go ahead and download it and it works almost flawlessly. Mm-hmm. And I have an iPhone XR, so like it is a 5-year-old phone and this thing is just pumping away. And I know the previous machines were nothing to compare to the phones that we carry in our pocket, but like the emulator code for this is just, it seems well done and it seems very user friendly. So I was surprised it was even available for more than a day before a cease and desist. But I don't know about you, like, was it like, I need to download it now before it disappears, or were you just like, let's see where this sits for a bit?
1,000%. That was my first thought. It's okay. Like, it's official. Now I knew they did not sneak it in. All right, so this was a big... Previously, they've attempted to get on the App Store. They have been rejected. This is a large part, as far as I understand, in they're trying to... They're feeling outside pressure to start to open up their ecosystem and allow like different app stores, for instance. And one way to start to kind of give fig leaves so that they don't face more scrutiny is to allow this type of application on their store. It's like, oh, look, like, no, we put stuff out there and we let the market decide what's able or not. We're open and free.
Right.
So I felt like it'd probably stay around for a while. I was pretty darn concerned that it was going to go away within like a week or two. So I made sure to grab that super quickly. And not so far. It seems to be like it's number one on the charts for the longest time. It does not seem like it's going to be... Well, what's your take? Do you think it's... Will it stay? Will Apple bend to outside pressures and get rid of it?
I really don't think Apple is going to bend unless it's through Epic Games, which points to them being like, hey, you won't allow us on your store, but you'll allow emulators.
Yeah.
But I think it's here to stay. It's quite popular. I think a lot of people that play retro games, I don't know your experience with it, but it's like, it's fun to do for like 10, 15 minutes, and then you're like, okay.
Like there's like, better iPhone games, frankly.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's a fun to have. It definitely is easier to just, again, have your phone and play a little Super Nintendo and 10, 15 minutes, save state, and you're good, and that's it. I'm just wondering if it's like a niche market. Like, do a lot of people... I know it's number one on the App Store, but it's like, how many people are using it? How many people are actually in there loading up tons of games? I don't know. I'm not sure. I have a few that I've had that I own. You know, again, disclaimer, if you own it. So what about you? Like, do you have thousands of games loaded up, or are you just like one or two tested out like you were saying?
So I'm in an interesting spot. And you saying to disclaimer, that's actually a great point. So the new dads are not legal scholars, and this is not legal advice. I was very curious about like the current state of play of the legality of emulators and ROMs and everything else. And the best that you could find is like, ultimately, if you were to just to go to a site and take a ROM of a game that you don't own and have it, like it's illegal. Like it's not, you're not supposed to have it, which makes sense. Like I understand like it's an old game and you can't purchase it. And there's gray area that perhaps you operate upon, but look, like, guys, we're not fooling it. Like, we know what's up. Like, nobody's doing this and doesn't know what's up. Look, you cannot just grab the files of an old game and play it. So the place where there is the most wiggle room is to say, if you own the game, you have purchased this game. So we're kind of looking at Zelda, the Zelda title for the DS. If you had purchased this game, and now you're using this as a means of digital backup, like you're allowed to have a backup. Okay, good. Now you're not allowed to distribute that backup. So what's really wild is that the sites are as plentiful as they are, because that's just straight up bad, right? Where it's mostly because like they will live in jurisdictions that don't have like some of these free use type of laws on the books, so there's nothing to go after them for. So like, you know, if Nintendo wants to go into Manila and try to like wiggle a room to figure out that, force them to do something, probably not going to happen.
No. Yeah.
But that kind of lays our groundwork where it's like, look, you know what's up. We all know what's up. No one's like fooling anybody here. If you did own the game or do own a copy of the game, you have some area with which it's like, well, I own it. This is just a digital copy of the thing I already own, as is my right. It's okay. You got that one. The sites that are hosting it, where you probably got the file, that definitely illegal. Very legal. Yeah. So that just kind of sets the framework for all of it. So now before I go on that round, I just thought it'd be good. And be clear, any game Jeff and I talk about are games that we own. So just for the purpose of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, was your question before I got on my little tangent there? I just wanted to get that in before we continue the conversation. Was it like what I've been playing or what I've been trying?
Yeah, like did you load up everything under the sun that you have, or did you just say, hey, you know, here's a game or two, I'll just see how it works, and then, you know, forget the next day? I don't know.
That was not many. I think I tried four or five. For me, it's more of a curious factor. I do have the dedicated physical hardware, that has a bunch of that has the emulators on it. So you remember like RetroPie or like whatever that device is.
Yeah.
Which is excellent, like a fantastic device. So I wasn't as bullish on like, let me get everything. Super curious to try it. It was fantastic. And here's a couple use cases specific where I could see it work. I was on the plane. I was flying somewhat recently, part of the reason why I was missing. And we had had a conversation about Final Fantasy recently, and I was able to download like Final Fantasy VI, like, and it had it on the phone. That slow moving, like tip, tip, tap type of game on your phone. Fantastic. Awesome. I was able to show it to my kids. And again, it's just another gateway for them into a bunch of old games that I own and have played.
Yeah.
Like super fascinating. I tried to get something. I think it's Sunset Riders. Is that the name of it? It's a fairly popular one. It's like a cowboy shooter.
Oh, is that it? I think that's what it's called. Wow. You went. Okay. You're reaching back.
I want to try that. Unplayable.
Okay.
In so much, it's Twitch, right? Like it's a very twitchy game. The touch screen controls do not work. Awful. Just like absolutely terrible, right? However, I own a Backbone and it works flawlessly.
Okay. This is where it comes in again.
This is where it gets super cool. So then I was playing Sunset Riders. You know what I was playing? Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Amazing.
Mike Tyson, that game holds up. So I never beat it. And I thought, you know what? If I'm going to have any game on this thing, Mike Tyson's Punch Out would be a damn good time.
Now's the time. Yeah.
All right. So I'll say this. Like, I think the biggest app, the biggest use from the phone perspective is slow boil RPGs because it doesn't require like fast responsiveness. You're never going to be fast enough on this thing. Yeah. If you do have a controller like me, Bob's your uncle. That's great. Pro tip. If you have an iPad, which by the way, the devs have said they're going to come out with an iPad specific version of it. Right now, it just scales the app big, which isn't too bad given what you're looking at. It works with your stylus.
Oh.
So if you're a fool like me and I have this thing like here and you have an Apple Pencil, and we're currently looking at Zelda Phantom Hourglass, which as a control mechanism was entirely controlled by the stylus on this lower screen.
Wild.
That feels fantastic. Now, you don't need it. Like, you can just use your finger. So it's not as though it's custom built for the Apple Pencil.
Right.
But it's just the fact that how well the pencil works on the iPad, and you're getting that one-to-one DS experience. Very nice. It is very, very nice.
Okay. So, that's good to know, because I didn't try any 3DS titles, but having access to a stylus...
It's, yeah, I, like I said, I'm one of the fools who bought like an Apple Pencil and just proceeded to not really ever use it. Like, I'll do some art on this. And it's like,
never
did art.
No.
So it's like, finally, it's come home to roost. Like, I finally found the reason. But yeah. I'm excited it happened. I think it shows up with a bang, leaves with a whimper. Because I think you're right. Your general take on it is that we're probably... It probably goes away. Is that not so much because it's gonna? Sorry, what is your? Let me stop asking. What is your take, Jeff, on what happens to this now that it's it came out and made a splash?
I think again, it opens the floodgates for more to be out there. So I know this one has been in development for a while and been available for a while. So it works well. So maybe it's more about the customers choosing the wrong one, getting a bad experience, and then walking away from it. But I do think everybody downloaded it day one because it was fresh, new, shiny. And I think it'll just slowly, again, sit in a corner. It'll always be there. I don't think Apple will get rid of it. I don't even think gaming companies will go after it. It'll just be there as a little thing. And I don't know if it'll live on my phone forever. But it is nice, again, as a gaming dad to have the save states and the 3x speed, I think it goes up to, and stuff like that, where it's just, if I want a little game of nostalgia and get back my childhood youth... I can do that.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, like my thought every time I beat somebody Mike Tyson's Punch Out, like save state. So instead of like there's gonna be just a slow, steady march towards finally beating this game. One final wipe. So
it's perfect.
That's cool. Hey, get it while it's good. We'll see what happens with the next steps of it, but makes a big splash and perhaps the big corpse come after us, or maybe it's here to stay. Maybe they kind of open things up a bit more for gaming.
And
Perhaps they'd now open a full actual Game Pass on
iPhone. One can hope.
What a world we live in. Hey, Gaming Dads, have you had experience with this? Do you have thoughts on this? Have you done emulations on your iPhone? Tried out the Delta, reach out to us. New Dad Gaming or at New Dad Gaming or newdadgaming.com. Out with the old, Jeff. Out with the old.
Out with it.
Hot damn. Like, what we need is hot newness.
We do.
And that's what you were about this week. So what were you looking at? What were you playing?
I played the brand new old game set in medieval times.
The newest game to look back in time.
Exactly. The newest game of those old medieval times of the 1500s. I downloaded Manor Lords, which is, if you haven't heard of it, it is one of the most wishlisted games on Steam, done by one developer, which is Crazy Sauce.
That's meant.
It's still early access.
Do we believe that, though? Like, really? Like, this is... It's so deep. Like, this is ridiculous.
It's so well done. It's, again, so well optimized. I play this on the Steam Deck from my car, and the thing runs like a dream. Some of the better than if I were to compare it to, like, City Skylines, which is a AAA kind of game that kind of chugs, and there's a lot going on. Granted, this thing is a little bit more... You know, it's again, medieval times, not everything is moving so quickly. Mm-hmm. Everything takes time to build up, but there is battles, like full-on battles. You can zoom right in to a person and walk around your town, and everyone is doing a thing, selling goods in the market. Oh my God, dude, it is well polished. And for
can you do tasks or anything, or is it just sort of like a view mode?
It's just a view mode. It's like it's even in beta. When you click on the thing, it's like beta mode. It might not work. The thing works perfectly, and you can walk around, and everyone's talking about what they're doing. You can't really interact with anything, but you can go see everybody in your town, and every family has a name, and you can see their kids, and they're all like lines of blacksmiths that work at the, you know, they're making the next sword for the militia that you have in the next town over. Like, everything is there at your fingertips. So
what is it? Now do describe it. So like it's an RTS. It's like what's like your mission? Like walk us through a bit about what, because I heard about it.
Yeah.
And you know what I made? I mistook this one for, I don't know if you saw the trailer, but it's a medieval battle. And then all of a sudden, like a station wagon comes flying through and just starts plowing through people. Yeah. So I mistakenly thought that this was
hilarious.
The station wagon, like, person out of time, like slamming fest. I'm like, oh, of course, everybody likes this game.
Yeah,
but it's entirely something. Walk us through what Manor Lords actually is.
So no station wagons, no modern touches.
Stop talking about it.
But again, just like this little quaint city builder, and there's a bunch of scenarios you can put. You can make this as slow or as intense as you want. Basically, you start it. It's much like Sim City, just set in the medieval times. There's houses you have to set up, everything has to work, you have to hunt for food, the food doesn't replenish unless you have somebody assigned to that, the forests have deforestation if you like go to town on resources, so you have to balance all these things. Plagues can happen if you don't have a variety of different foods. Militias can attack, you have to build your own militia, there's neighboring towns and trade posts and all this stuff under, like, you have to build wells on the water that's underneath. You can't just build it in the middle of nowhere. So you have to plan your city. Everything is kind of cool. There's a really chill vibe to it, though. So everything just takes time. You see the guy that wants to build a house, they're building it log by log, and he's literally going to get the logs and attach it to the ox that brings it to the housing site, and you're building this little house. It's not like where Age of Empires or SimCity where it's like three frames and it's built. You see him like hammer in all the logs, and I find it very calming, and it's just a chill game. There's really nothing that, well, you can get wiped out by fires, floods, and armies invading you.
It's gotta be painful, though, because I'm trying to think about if it takes that long, they're building their house log by log, and then you get some sort of raider or a plague to come through, just mangle everybody. Like, dude, this took forever. This took me like 20 years to build this up. What are we doing?
Yeah, it could definitely Yeah, it can wipe you out that way. And you can fast forward time if you're not wanting to look at everything. But honestly, it's just one of those so well done, well detailed, well thought out. Again, had a vision, stuck with it, and this person, whether or not they had help, I don't know. It seems like lies to me. But it's you go into the game and there's this pop-up and the developer is named Greg. And he's like, please be kind. It's still in early access. I still want to do all these things. There's no roadmap. It's just me. Thanks, Greg. I'm like, no problem, Greg. I will go into this game with an open mind.
You got it, Greg.
Yeah.
I'm your biggest fan, Greg. Thanks so much.
Yeah. But it, again, I would recommend it to anybody. It's in a great state. Yes, it is early access, so you may not get like super deep full experience, but it is already deep. It's got a lot of stuff to play with, and it's just fun to play and try to survive a winter when all your food runs out. But you know, those are the games I play, Trevor. What can punish me down the road and destroy all my work? Why not?
It was a simpler time. The question is, when you had to drink beer because water was too poisonous, when rats could cause an entire, could just wipe out an entire livestock, a simpler, nicer time. And not a single station wagon. That's so disappointing.
No, that should be in there though for some fun.
Yeah, it continues to be the biggest type of story this year. I don't know if it's just 2023 and 2024, but it's like the really underwhelming AAA and the unbelievable indie scene. Palworld, Manor Lords, Suicide Squad comes out with a thud, like no one cares.
Like Helldivers 2, like,
what has happened? What's that?
Helldivers 2, right? Like just
right?
Just thrown out there, and it's like number one on all the charts still. It's just people, I think, just want to have fun. And I think we talked about that, where a lot of the fun is monetized and under all this stuff. And you're like, no, I just want to play some games.
And speaking of games, speaking of just having some fun, kind of in a this game is almost medieval, at least like the original one, you decided to put together some Nintendo tokens and dip back into a terrible title of Tactics Ogre.
Yes, it's not a good title. I think we were confused trying to find gameplay, and they're like, is it Ogre Battle? Is it Tactics Ogre? Final Fantasy Tactics? What's going on?
It's definitely, as before the show you had mentioned it, it's a perfect summation. It is a bad Japanese translation. Again, you just need to add the word go to it. It's like, Tactics Ogre, go!
Exactly.
It's everything you need to know.
Perfect, but load it up.
A well-known game, a well-loved game. Like, how did you find this one again and get back into it?
Yeah, this was something that was living on my wish list forever since the launch of this thing, which was, I think, a year, almost two ago. And it just kind of sat there, and I had it on my Steam wish list and my Nintendo wish list. And then I thought, Trevor, hey, I get emails Nintendo every month saying, hey, your gold points are going to expire. You're going to lose $4 here, buddy. Maybe buy a game or two. And then that email worked. So whoever's listening from Nintendo and suggests games to my profile, like, hey, you wishlisted this, you know, you could use your gold points and get it for $2. And I'm like, yes, please.
Say more. Go on.
And that's what happened. I bought this for, you know, less than a cup of coffee. Used all my gold points because it was on sale. It was, again, something I was looking forward to. I'm a big Final Fantasy Tactics fan. And I swore that, like, when I finished Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, when I went through that, I wouldn't touch a long game of hundreds of hours. This is not that game. This is a game of hundreds of hours. So I don't know what I'm doing.
This isn't 100. This is 200. It's a big difference.
It is what it is. I'm going to be living in here for a while and my other medieval town. So I'm all set for the rest of the year. I don't think I have anything else that I need to get into. But again, I will recommend Tactics Ogre Reborn. It's the redone version of an older game, but they have a lot of quality of life things. You can save whenever you want. Oh my God, it's just all the dad stuff that we need, where you can pause, do whatever, go attend your needs, and then get back into turn-based battles. So no pressure. Again, I like no pressure, but like hundreds of hours of gameplay, but like no pressure.
Yeah. So what is the take from your kids? Do they see you playing this and it piques their interest? Do you think they'd be into it? Or is it too much of a old school slow burn to entice them?
So this one specifically, they are so bored with it. They looked at it once and they're like, why are you playing a book?
Why you just?
Because there's so much talking.
Don't you already have a Kindle? Like, what are you doing with this?
Yes, both of them hate the talking. They hate story elements. Again, I think I've mentioned that before, where this one's fully voiced, and I do like its political intrigue. There's like a Game of Thrones kind of, you know, who's against who, and they're backstabbing this person in this political position. And of course, my 11-year-old is just rolling their eyes. Like, I want the Switch to play my Pokemon. Get off this. And my 13-year-old doesn't care. They're off in their own little world. They no interest at all. So that's a resounding no to even diving into this, which I was in this at 12 with Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, this was my jam.
So what do you, I don't know, do you I think lost it, them. Okay, so why do you think, let's dive into that a bit. Why do you think that is? Is it because they demand something more phonetic, like something like faster pace, something action, something with kind of gambling style gotcha type things that's going to drive them forward? Or is it just a, like, the games are, games today are better, like they're just objectively better, like the menus, the systems, like it's more obvious, like you know exactly what to do, pick up and play, have fun, difficulty settings. What is it about these old ones that, you were 12, you love this game. They are between those ages, and they hate this game.
I know.
So why the disconnect, if you could try to distill it?
I just failed as a gaming dad.
Yes.
No.
You suck, Trevor. Is that what you wanted me to say? Because I'm a dad, bad dad.
Sure. Just give it in the, yeah, have it live recording. Sure. We won't edit that out.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a little bit of what you said, where the games today are just built better, less bloat to them. They're a little faster moving. Again, modern world is a little faster moving. But I think today's games are also very much connected. So by that, I mean, like, your friends are playing them, you're online doing things, you're getting an item every week or seeing what your other friend has in the same game. Whereas this one is very solo, isolated. And back when we played things that weren't connected, that was just peaceful, right? So I ran through Final Fantasy VI by myself, right? That's 70 hours of me just grinding that game and not knowing what my friend's doing because I don't have them on text, messenger, whatever, Discord, or connecting with them in game. So this is, again, very, it might feel very isolated to them, like they're alone in it. Whereas the games they play now, like the Roblox, Minecraft, Fortnite, all that stuff, they're there with people. And I think that's where their connection is. At least with my kids, that's what I see.
Yeah. Now, do you think, you know, this isn't necessarily going to happen? I really do like today's games. Like, I don't like to, like, we pooped a bit on the AAA space, but a lot of what people can do. I think about Balatro, for instance, as a game. And the fascinating demonstration of what that is. Mashup of genres, super artistic, like, interesting. It's got a great hook. So, again, like, I'm a huge proponent. So I cared not to be wistful about the past and just say, oh, everything was better, everything today sucks. No, things today are much better. I wonder if in a silly experiment, you and your family went off to the forest for like a year.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, if they disconnected, would the lack of connectivity, the lack of, like, connection to friends, the lack of internet, and they had these type of titles, could they slide into it and eventually learn its beauty, or would it still, or are they kind of poisoned in a sense that, like, they know how good it can be?
That is a good question, and I might have an answer later in the summer, because not to put everybody like, well, cliffhanger to be continued. But my dad lives in the States, right? Invite us down with the grandkids. And just me and them, right? And we'll just go down for a week and visit. And he wants to do a bunch of day trips and all that stuff. So very much about just visiting, disconnecting, all that stuff. But I do want to bring some video games just to, you know, tie over the nights or when we're cooking dinner or whatever. But with the thing of, like, you're not getting online on grandpa's Wi-Fi and playing against your friends on Roblox or whatever, like, it's just, this is going to be a week away. So if they bring games that are a little bit more isolated or something that they don't have connectivity with, we'll see how that flies. It might be a horrible disaster and a great episode for the week after. Or not. I don't know. Yeah. It's, who's to say? Yeah. It will be kind of a fish out of water situation, though, I think.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I'm curious. I do wonder, too, when we didn't have anything. And again, I think we can both agree that games are just better today.
Yeah.
Like, I think about Manor Lords and, like, the depth of that. Like, it's just, like, how stunning. But, you know, gaming is Roblox, is Minecraft, is just massive amounts of connectivity, activity, as phonetic or quiet as you want. And like ours was almost like slow gaming through necessity because it's the only things we had. Like, it's just like, here's Final Fantasy, like, 2, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
what do you want, a trail to tell you what to go?
Exactly.
And we accept it because, like, that was the top. That was the best. So also suffice to say, like, that's a lot of words to basically say I don't have an answer, because it is a fascinating question when you pose it like that. And giving away connectivity, access to friends, everything else, like, could they eventually learn the benefits of a slow boil game like Tactics Ogre Go? Or have they for them, like, cemented in their mind that no, gaming is social, fast, interesting, connected, bigger.
Yeah, like, again, I think we're kind of the flip of what they think, right? I don't like too many multiplayer games. Like, you put that in front of me right now, and I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to have to talk to people and do things and be part of a team. Then I'm going to be judged and shamed out of the place. But I could do it, right? I have done it as I grew up. So I don't know. We'll see. Again, this game is particularly just a lot of reading and a lot of, like, I need to follow the story, and they are definitely not towards that. Even Elden Ring, they followed me through that, but they really didn't get the plot points. They just wanted the cool battles and watch Dad die.
Yeah. So they're probably pretty bored through some of, like, the exploration parts where you're just kind of stomping through.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm super nervous about getting stomped on. I'm like, no, we can't lose here. Yeah.
Oh, hey, gaming dads out there, have you had a similar thought? Have you ever thought about what your kids might like, as far as if they could only play the games you grew up with, could they enjoy it? Or has gaming kind of been perpetually tilted for them thanks to Roblox, Fortnite, and the other lot? And where do we go from there as gaming dads? Love to hear from you. NewDadGaming.com or at NewDadGaming. And with that, we wrap it up there for the week. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. If you like the podcast, if you could head over to anywhere where you get your shows, so Apple, Spotify, Google Play, Caster, YouTube, anywhere you find your podcast, look for New Dad Gaming, give us a subscription, really helps out the show, and especially if you leave a rating and a comment, boosts the signal, gets us out there to as many gaming dads as possible. Mentioned through the show a couple times, if you have your own story, your own ideas, something we talked about, something we should talk about, absolutely adore hearing from you guys. Is some of the absolute best moments of the show. Reach out to us, newdadgaming.com or at newdadgaming. Thank you once again. Jeff, I'll do my best not to leave you once again, although the show improves when I go away, so I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that. But just the same, until next week, everybody, my name is Trevor, and I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 13-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a manor to take care of.
There we go.
Yes.
And a little plague, but just a minor one.
Just a touch, a sprinkle. Just keep them on their toes.
Winter will take care of it.
That's right. Okay.
Everybody, just remember, just because you became a dad
does not mean it's game over.